Welcome to Live Talks, a podcast by Live, a tech and logistics company headquartered in Abu Dhabi. On Live Talks, we tackle fintech, logistics, business, and best practices in the workplace. I'm Karim Bakhash, the VP of Strategy at Live Global, and I will be your host. Welcome to a new episode of Live Talks. Today's topic is going to be about content marketing and communication strategy. With me today is Natasha Heatherall, the founder and CEO of DishDash. Do you want to maybe introduce yourself first and, you know, we can take it from there?
Thank you for having me. I'm Natasha. Everyone calls me Tash. And I own DishDash Communications. We're one of the largest independent communications agencies in the GCC. We've been around for 12 years. We do the whole spectrum of communication from traditional PR, design, branding, content creation, all types of digital marketing, events and lots more. You know, we represent a lot of brands you're going to be familiar with in the region, from the likes of ASICS, Victoria's Secret, Bath & Body Works, Kibson's, and plenty more. There's over 60 in our team, and we're all very, very passionate about content.
Great. Well, very excited to have you here. I think I'll just give a quick intro. I mean, what is content? I mean, when we talk about content marketing and communication strategy, it's really, some people say, an art and science of how do you communicate with your customers without selling them yet anything. So it's like, how do you interact and connect with your audience? I read a very interesting fact, not like yesterday when I was preparing for the podcast. I was like, 40% of users now use social media for their purchasing decision. It sounds very, very big coming from an older generation where we only had TV and radio and newspaper to get our advertising. Now it's everywhere. So maybe to start, maybe we can just start on the basics. Like, what are all those channels that exist nowadays to communicate and connect with your audience?
I think, you know, today, I think even the way that we define content is very, very different than it used to be. There's so many different channels, you know, be it obviously, you know, from paid media to social media, newsletters, you know, LinkedIn, there, you know, even, you know, down to obviously like, you know, the sort of, you know, this piece of content, and then there was obviously channels of distribution. So, you know, when we're talking content, I think as well, like a lot of people, it means different things to different people, but ultimately, you know, we have so many different channels these days to get our message out there to our customers.
It's very tricky for retailers and any brand owners, right? And I can relate to it talking as a business, but also talking about the clients we help digitize. It's always very difficult. One is, how much do you spend? Where do you spend it? And what, you know, what message are you trying to pass? And given the proliferation of channels lately, it's even more and more difficult because you have to kind of segment and try to reach to the right audience with the right channel. So how do you take this forward? Like, what is the right approach? Because as a young organization, like we're maybe not a very small organization, but we're kind of a scaling organization. And there's also from our clients, a very small organization. How do you approach this? Like, it sounds very overwhelming for somebody who also doesn't really kind of familiar with communication and content.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. I think it is very overwhelming. And that's where a lot of clients, you know, be it of whatever scale of business they are, you know, they come to us, and I think sometimes they don't necessarily know what they need because it just seems like a lot. You know, where whatever client we're working with on any sort of size or type, I think, you know, comes down to foundations, right? So whatever you do, I still believe, you know, you need to have a strategy and you need to have a plan, and you need to know why you're doing something. I think sometimes, you know, it's, you know, when we went through the, you know, the years of like, you know, oh, you need to be on social media, and that was like the buzzword. And I feel like now content marketing is coming around to everyone's like, oh, I need to do content marketing, but actually either they don't know what it means, or there's like a lot of misconceptions, or it just means a lot of things. And so which bit of content marketing? So I think, you know, you've got to know, you know, have a strategy, have a plan. Ultimately, you need to know who it is your audience is, because you can only, you know, when you're actually looking at then what channels you use, depending on who your audience are, you'll use different channels. So I think a lot of it is it still goes back to the old fashioned principles of marketing. But obviously, you know, in terms of new media and new ways of marketing. So I think, you know, I always say, you know, go, you know, follow the same principles of marketing, you know, what, you know, have a strategy, have a plan, who are you talking to, then you can work out who that audience or multiple audiences, what are the best channels to reach them. Because obviously, if you're a, you know, a business to business brand, it's going to be very different. Maybe obviously things like, you know, even your database of you'd be emailing with, obviously LinkedIn might be a core channel, versus if you're looking at a consumer brand, maybe mum's your target. And obviously, as we know, the kind of mum audience, actually their propensity to buy after seeing on social media is even higher than a lot of other groups, because I think a lot of it is with mums in particular, it's word of mouth, they trust their other kind of fellow mums. So, you know, it's all these things you have to take into consideration with the decisions you make.
Right. I can relate with this, whatever you just said. There's a lot of, it seems that depending on the segments, actually your channel of where you're consuming media and content differ drastically. So what we're trying to say here is, as an organization, you need to understand first who's your target audience. That's probably the base of everything. Once you know who's your target audience, then you can look at your different channels that are available to get to that target audience.
Yeah.
And then you devise the content that you want and the channel you want.
Yeah. I think too many businesses, and one of the things that I see as well is, you know, too many people try and be everything to everybody.
Correct.
And that obviously comes from, obviously, you know, if you have a strategy and you have all your kind of target audience and your personas, then it becomes easier. But, you know, with everything, I think, you know, when you try and be everything to everybody, you end up being, you know, nothing to anybody. So I think that's why it's really, really important to drill down to get, you know, to have the right strategy and the right channels.
Right. Okay. What do you think is the base of all this? Like, to start all this journey of, you know, I have a target audience, I know these are the channels. What is then the next step? Like, what is the base of everything?
I think that obviously, you know, when you know who you're talking to, so then obviously it is about, you know, choosing your kind of, you know, channels and the way you're going to deliver, you know, to your target audience. And I think something as well is that, you know, you've got to be practical in terms of, you know, the resources you have, both financially and people-wise as well. Because all of these things, I say, to do content really and content marketing really well, it actually takes a lot of time. You know, it isn't just as kind of, you know, so, but I think, you know, there are learnings on how you can make it easier for yourself. But, you know, you have to, okay, and I always believe it's better to do one or two things really well than try and do everything and do it kind of less well. So I think, you know, depending on what situation you are in, then maybe, you know, to start with, I think, you know, you're going to learn things, and there's a lot of test and learn with content as well. So you're not going to probably get it right perfectly the first time. So maybe choose yourself one channel, two channels start with, and then, you know, have a strategy for those, how you're going to use those. And then, you know, sort of have maybe, you know, a month kind of running in, you know, what that looks like for you and your business. And then, you know, you can learn and optimize accordingly. I think something I see as well, a lot of the time is, you know, people invest in amazing content. So I've, you know, have brands that, for example, have spent a fortune on a really beautiful piece of hero content that could be for a campaign, you know, which tells all the story and everything, say, you know, about their brand. Maybe, you know, let's just say, like, maybe spend like $300,000, for example, on this beautiful video. And then they fall down because actually they haven't thought enough about the distribution. And ultimately, you know, that piece of content really is only going to be as good as people, you know, who sees it and the eyeballs on it. But then, so I think, you know, you've got to make sure that whatever you have is maybe your sort of hero piece or your piece of content that's got eyeballs and that's got visibility. So even, for example, if you're, you know, putting it on, say, LinkedIn, for example, you know, it could be as well, like, your employees, for example, are also some of your best kind of ambassadors and content sharers. So having a strategy internally with maybe your team as well, so then they share content that then distributes to their audience. So, you know, using even, for example, you know, are you going to boost and amplify LinkedIn ads to reach a new audience? Have you got, obviously LinkedIn works really well, obviously Google and search and all, it all feeds into the way, you know, online search these days, it's all very interlinked. So, you know, how does that feed in with your LinkedIn strategy, I mean, your Google and search strategy? Because then, you know, if you've got, you know, you're working on your SEO as well, then obviously you can optimize that. So I think it is all about, you know, you've got to work out A, what you're going to use, but then how you're going to use to get visibility.
Maybe something we didn't maybe mention at the beginning, but I'll just go back to it, is what is the relationship of content with brand strategy? Is it the same thing, or is it actually one comes before the other? Because there's usually some confusion from a lot of brand owners saying they think, you know, brand, I mean, this is the most simplistic thing I heard, is brand is a logo and then content is social media. And just wait, why is nothing happening? I'm just oversimplifying it.
No, but people do think this, and that's why, I think that's why then it, when it doesn't work, so.
Correct, they ask a question, it's like, why didn't it work? Well, I mean, you know, maybe you skipped a few steps. But can you just explain that really the link between the brand strategy and the content communication strategy, or is it maybe just one and it's actually completely interlinked?
So ultimately, you know, when you're talking about a brand is so many different things. You know, it definitely, you know, it's far more than a logo or any, you know, brand colors. You know, the brand is, you know, every brand has, you know, values, it has personality, it has a story. You know, you think about the best brands in the world and, you know, they all have a really, really strong narrative and messaging. And, you know, so that is, you know, so you have your brand, which obviously stands for something. You know, ideally, if a brand is done well, that should have, you know, it should emote something from the audience. And then obviously, when it comes to, obviously, you use your content and the channels to get them, you know, to communicate the messages about your brand, which are consistent with your core essence of your brand.
Good. Okay. So it's very important for people to understand that there's a brand first that needs to be put in place before they move into content.
Yes.
Because a lot of the people might think, oh, I'll just skip this. I'll do something very quickly and I'll just focus on my content.
So really, yeah, you've got your brand, and then from that, you should have a strategy and a plan for that brand. And then comes the other side, obviously the channels and how you distribute to eyeballs from that brand.
Perfect. Okay, good. I just wanted to make that really link so people to understand that it's actually two distinct things and one does not work without the other.
Yes.
You mentioned something important while you're talking as a story. You know, brand gives a story. Obviously, content also gives a story. Can you explain how storytelling is so important in all this marketing and communication?
I think, you know, if we all look at and think about the brands that really we all feel something for, I think, you know, they'll all have, you know, there will be a story, there'll be a message, something that really resonated with us. You know, I mean, even if you look at kind of like in the most simplest, I always think about sometimes, you know, some of the holiday adverts and everything for key brands you see around the world, you know, everyone looks forward to them every year because obviously they relate to the brand, but then they take you on the journey through, you know, something that relate, you know, that makes you feel at the end of it, you come away feeling, you know, in the run up to the holidays, you know, that you feel very warm and fuzzy. And the best brands are very, very effectively, you know, communicated who they are and got people to buy into and resonate with who they are.
This reminds me of a very old ad that used to pass during holiday periods. It was for a beverage, and the song was made to link to the beverage, and it's a holiday song.
Yeah.
And so every time I think about the song till now, I still remember the beverage, even though it's completely from maybe 20 years ago.
And you probably still smile as well.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Because it reminds me of the holidays.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting how, you know, like storytelling becomes very interlinked with a lot of those brands. Okay, maybe if we move to kind of, you know, it's all good when we talk about it, like in theory, you know, you do this, you do that, but you know, everybody does mistakes. Let's maybe talk about most common mistakes. And if you can give examples, that would be even great. But let's, you know, talk about some of the mistakes that retail brands do.
Yeah, look, I think as a, you know, some of the things I've even touched on already, I think, you know, not having a plan and a strategy, you know, I think then you don't know where you're going. And, you know, so I think that is a basic, not having, you know, that. I think using obviously the wrong channels, if you don't know who you're talking to, it's, you know, or you're not clear enough, then you probably will use channels that don't reach your audience. I think that's something that we see a lot, you know, and sometimes, yeah, I think sometimes everyone's, you know, I want to, you know, I need to be on TikTok because everyone thinks they need to be on TikTok. And then when you're like, you know, you're actually like, actually, is your audience on TikTok? And then the reality is it's probably not a core channel, but actually there's two other channels that actually are far more effective at reaching their audience. That's where they should be focusing their time. Of course, if they have extra budget and, you know, they want to, then, and it reaches a small proportion, then by all means, go and try that. But I would always say get your core channels working well before you obviously go and try something which is probably, you know, less going to resonate with your audience. I think sometimes people, you know, you see it with everything, you know, even when Instagram started, you know, everyone jumps on it because it's a new thing. And actually, is that the right channel? Is it the right way to reach your audience? I think as well, I mean, look, I think the thing with content as well is like, it is test and learn. So there are going to be, you know, you are going to make mistakes or you're going to have to kind of tweak things along the way. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think it is, as long as, you know, if you really have got your basics and you've kind of, you've got, you understand why you're doing it, then at least you're kind of semi-way there.
So what you're, we're trying to say is don't follow trends, like social driven trends saying, oh, TikTok, let's just put money on TikTok, but you don't even know yet if it works for your channel.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying
to do. What's right for your audience, correct, and your consumer.
Correct.
Don't just jump on something because it's trending and everyone says you should be there.
We've been talking a lot about latest social media or digital media, but we tend to forget a bit about traditional media. Are we now saying that, you know, 80% has moved completely to digital and traditional media is only being used by huge brands, government, and I don't know who else, but I mean, it seems to be kind of gone to the past. Is that what's happening?
Look, I don't think, look, at the end of the day, like I would say like it's probably 60% of my agency is still traditional media.
Right.
And there's a, you know, there's a, it is important and there is a time and a place. I think we look, we still find some people still today do, you know, take in a magazine or a page ripped out of a magazine to a pharmacy for a product. So there is still there. And I think for a lot of brands, there is still that credibility for being in print or being in top tier media. I read magazines, I consume traditional media. There are still, depending on who your target audience are, you know, there is definitely a place for that. But I'm obviously, you know, something that we're very, very digitally savvy at Tish Tash, and we do a lot of, you know, in terms of looking at digital PR. And so for me, when I'm looking at my clients, I will always, of course, the print, you know, we, you know, would love, you know, the print coverage. And, you know, particularly a lot of time when it comes to things like investment, we have a lot of clients that are, you know, they're either going for investment or they're announcing it. And that matters to their stakeholders, things like that. But at the same time, I always want to make sure that we've got digital coverage of the same as well, because the reality is that if you've got, you know, a credible newspaper, like here, obviously we look at, like, you know, the newspapers such as Gulf News, the National, their search ranking is very, very high online on Google. So that's going to help the brand's SEO. The reality is, in most cases, digital's around forever, right? So even if someone is searching for you in 5 years' time, they're going to find that. And I have, it's funny because I have a lot of clients who maybe when they're starting PR and they don't really understand it so much, and even now they come back 5 years later and I'm like, you know, that article that we did 5 years ago about my business, even now today I still get business leads from it. People find me and they quote the article to me. So I think, you know, as long as I think your strategy, you know, when there's a time and a place for all media still. But I think making sure your traditional media, where possible, has an online digital presence, because then that supports your whole ecosystem of content and that helps the distribution as well. So then that will feed into, I mean, ideally you want to try and make sure you've got a backlink as well from that article.
Of course.
But then that's not always so easy as well, because not every media outlet will do that. But I'm just saying it closes a loop in terms,
correct,
of everything.
Correct. No, and we can, as an organization, relate, as, you know, as a young organization, as you grow, the more you're mentioned in traditional media, in digital, the more your credibility goes up yes. with future clients and existing clients that are happy to be associated with you.
Because people Google you.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Well, where is the first place? Right? I think now it's, mind you, it's not even like social. Like a lot of times people say social media is the first place people look at you.
No,
but
it's Google.
I think it is. Yeah, Google, then it's social. But both ways, they're both digital channels. So,
correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first place. And the first thing that will pop out if you search an organization yeah. name is articles that are published in traditional media.
Exactly. And you look at how credible is that source,
correct.
Right? So you go down. And so it is really important.
Correct, correct. Okay, so as a summary here, traditional media is not dead.
Definitely not dead. Evolving, and actually
correct.
We'll find that we're actually, the good thing with traditional media is that they're evolving too. So, you know, you're getting more potential coverage because you get the traditional, you get the online, you get their social media. You know, generally all media's got LinkedIn now and they've got all the different channels. So actually for one piece of content, you can actually end up getting 5 pieces of content. So it's
correct.
Actually great.
And I think it's important in the maturity of it, like, or the scale of the organization to know what to use. Obviously, as an organization, we're not going to be going and doing traditional media on the streets or, you know, like big billboards
yeah.
because we're not there, right? We're not a brand that needs to be out there yet, or it's also very expensive. But we can go to traditional media and do the content,
yeah.
right? That will help us indirectly without having to really pay, you know, the traditional media, like those
yeah.
newspaper, anything, because they want also content that they want to publish. So it's a win-win situation
yeah.
in general.
And
right?
that's why it's traditional PR. It's, I say, obviously, you know, I'm very, I spent my career and I'm very passionate about it, but traditional PR is so much more economical way of marketing for brands than obviously traditional media where, you know, whereas for one, say, for example, agency fee, you can get maybe 10 pieces of coverage
correct.
Versus you'll go and spend on one billboard, one
correct.
Press advert,
correct.
And it's a lot more expensive.
And we talk about this a lot internally, right? And how much we want to push more onto articles and interviews and content more than just, you know, sometimes like just putting in advertising. Because we actually had a lot of leads coming in only on these being published. So, for example, we get, you know, let's say the National here in the UAE, they write an article about us. It could be on anything. We put it on our LinkedIn or on social media and you can see people clicking on it much more than anything else you've put. And then after that, they just reach out and they want to know more about your product.
Consumers are savvy, you know.
Yeah.
I think everyone can generally see the difference between an advertisement versus, you know, an article. So, you know, even now on social media, I think, you know, looking at that content, consumers know the difference between influencers that have been paid to do something. So that's why generally, you know, the value of when we're looking at it as an agency is a very crude metric in terms of PR coverage. So this, if you have the same size of coverage in a, say, a magazine versus an advert, the PR coverage is roughly always valued about 3.5 times the value of the advertisement, because that's, you know, it's got much more impact with the end user.
Good. Okay. I like the conversation. It's very interesting. So let's maybe talk about example of successful. I mean, we talked about pitfalls, which is, you know, I throw money everywhere and I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have a strategy. I don't have a plan. Maybe I don't even have a good brand. I'm just doing this right and left and expecting people to interact with me, which will not happen automatically unless you have something amazingly that everybody wants, which is very rare. You're not revolutionizing new products all the time. But again, the general consensus is you need to have everything in place, and those are the pitfalls. Maybe if we talk about successfuls, and love to have an example of like something, you know, you've seen that grew, changes a bit how it started interacting, and then as it does that, it continuously grow their brand presence and recognition and also in the content of what they did.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we look at first on a sort of more of a kind of, you know, global brand level, I think it's always good to kind of look at kind of those that really, really lead the way. You know, obviously the likes of, you know, Apple, Lego, you know, and even like Airbnb, I really, really love their approach. You know, they are very, obviously they have a strategy. Yes, they do have a lot of marketing budget behind them, but they are very consistent on every channel with who they are. And I think that's really clear. I think a lot of these brands, what they have in common as well, is that they're very good at, you know, using their user-generated content. So this is something that now I feel like we're, you know, generally we're catching up on user-generated content, UGC as it's called. So these are brands, like if you look at Lego, for example, you know, I think we've all probably have a really you know, we think of Lego and we think about it, you know, it's got really good childhood memories and, you know, that creating that sense of achievement. And I think that, you know, there's so much content that's created by mums or, you know, by families, and that gets, you know, used through, you know, that threads through. And I think they're very good at using their, you know, consumer content in their platforms. Likewise with Airbnb, for example, pretty much all of their content is user generated from people staying in properties and people and their people that own the properties that rent them out. And so not only, obviously, you know, they've got a clear strategy, but they actually reduce their costs of content creation, which actually is always a big barrier for brands, by, and they use real content. And then, you know, so they, I think they've done such a powerful job using that. And I think, you know, I think it really is, you know, right strategy, the right channels, and then also really using other people's content really well, that really brings it together to a really beautiful ecosystem. I think, you know, I would say, you know, here sort of locally, I think actually there's quite a lot of independent brands in the region that are doing it really well. And so I think it goes to show that you don't necessarily have to have the biggest budgets to, you know, be able to kind of, you know, do great content work. You know, we look at even, you know, sort of Al Nuami Collective, that's a local Emirati, you know, fashion designer and print designer. And I think she's, you know, all of her channels are really, really spot on. She really speaks to her audience. We've got a lot of, I'd say, local fashion brands or local, you know, even the likes of kind of, you know, Giving Movement and Elle Couture. I think they've also, they've got a very clear direction and strategy. They're using the right channels, but then they're also using a lot of their audience content as well.
Maybe if you can explain it a bit more, maybe I'm not familiar, but this user content, generated content.
User generated content.
Can you give an example of what exactly is? Is it like a review that you take and talk about
so,
it?
So if you're a brand, for example, say, you know, you're doing your social media channels. So you're actually like maybe investing in photo shoots and you're doing, you know, you're making your own videos. Obviously that's your own brand content.
Of course.
Now, a lot of brands now, because it is really expensive to do, like I think we do a lot of for clients, you know, all of their content. And by the time, you know, you've done, you know, photographer studios, models, props, everything, and all the editing, it's expensive. So now that obviously there's a movement, and it also, not to say it doesn't lack an authenticity, if it's done with the brand values, then actually, you know, but sometimes, you know, your target audience are always going to capture your, the essence, you know, your brand. So from, it could be, you know, you can use influencers and content creators to create content. So a lot of the time as well, for example, we're gifting influencers things, and they will create their own videos or their own TikToks or photography. So I think, you know, it's evolving. So it used to be, for example, when Instagram was maybe more of a static image platform, right? We used to give people things and they used to take really beautiful curated image.
Right.
And obviously that's still, because it costs a lot of money to for photography, being able to then reshare and use someone's photography, a lot of the time, you know, we'd ask them, can we use your, or can you send us the original, can we use it? And most of the time, as long as it's accredited, it'd be fine. Now, obviously, we've moved on, it's video, it's kind of, you know, TikToks, and it's all like, you know, it's sort of more interactive. But that ultimately is somebody else's content curated for you that then you use on your channel. So it's about, you can then obviously share it and use it on your own channel, but then they are also doing the work for you by sharing it on their channels. So I think user-generated content is content someone else has created for you about your brand, but ultimately, you know, you can use it, they use it, and it reaches more people.
Okay, so then if I go back to the example of Airbnb, it could be an owner of an apartment that talks about his experience and then he just shares the video.
Yes, it could be, for example, it could be like, yeah, so say you're renting out your, you know, you'd be like, okay, maybe you'll do some videos or maybe you'll take pictures and you'll share them on your social, like, here, rent out my, you know, whatever, here's the link. Likewise, if someone goes and stays in a really, you know, think about it when you, you know, I think a lot of us like to go and do Airbnb now to have a more of a personal and homely experience. So people, wherever they stay, they're like, I'm staying in this great Airbnb, tag it in, and then they get access to that content as well. So it's coming from multiple, you know, prongs.
Right.
But then, so you can aggregate the experience up for show for both, you know, from users and obviously kind of renters. You know, yeah, it's getting someone else to do the work for you.
Interesting. Okay. Good ideas for, like, especially companies that don't have, you know, big budgets, because as you said, it's very expensive to do you know, own video content on, it's not an easy budget.
And look, UGC is actually a full-time job for people now. There are people, you know, we get people, you know, apply to work with us, as, you know, as UGC, you know, creators. So it's not to say you necessarily won't have to pay these people. It doesn't cost nothing, but a lot of the time you can do it a lot more affordably than, you know, doing your own. And then also sometimes when you do your own content, everything kind of like maybe looks the same or has. And I think it's really, when maybe you've got different target audiences, it's good to see it from different lens and different kind of peoples. And I think it brings that rawness that people really resonate with as well. They don't just want to see it from the brand owners. They want to see other people's emotions and experiences as well.
Interesting. Okay, good. Maybe if we look a bit kind of on the future, like what kind of latest trends or future trends you see happening for content, you know, marketing and communication? Is there something new that you see developing and becoming more and more prevalent?
I think, I mean, we all know, you know, technology, our industry has been affected by technology. I think probably, you know, we're all affected by technology and where things are going. Obviously, you know, AI is a massive area. It's something that I belong to, you know, the PR associations of the Middle East, and we've got working groups on AI, you know, trying to work out where it's going for our industry. And it is really important. I think the other day I was in a meeting and someone was talking about they were doing their first like 360 marketing campaign solely using AI, which semi blew my mind. And then it really has got me thinking this week about that. But, you know, I don't think we're all going to be replaced by AI. I'm very passionate about, you know, but I also do think it is going to change the way we work. So there will be a day where you can, you know, in whatever platforms and tools we have in AI, it will be like produce me, I don't know, 100 pieces of content from different perspectives, and that will happen. Mm. So, you know, whilst we may be a little way off that, I think AI is definitely going to revolutionize the way we create content.
I tried some of these online tools now that you talk about it, because you're interested. You see all these things, oh, AI will replace content, oh, AI will replace video. So I went into these tools. I don't even remember, and I don't want to promote any of them anyways. But I went in, and some of them you write a script, and then it will auto-generate a video for you that is based on the script that you're given. Obviously, it's a bit rudimentary and not very creative yet. But the trend seems to be there somewhere.
That, you can imagine where it's going to get to, yeah, right?
So the same thing on content, which they took it even a step further, is they said, okay, you can write the topic, and you know, you can tell, you know, ChatGPT or any of them, create for me a, I don't know, whatever, 500 words content about this topic and talk about this. So they write the topic, but it looks a bit too robotic, let's put it this way. Listen, now, where they take it as a step further is there's a button, not in ChatGPT, I've seen this tool, where it's make it human.
Yeah.
And then what it does, it reads your own articles that you've uploaded, and it kind of makes it more look like your own.
Yeah.
But again, it's trying to read some things you wrote. So you can't start from scratch and make it human because it has to read something. But it gives you, again, some ideas of where this might be heading, which could be good and bad, right? From the good is it makes, you know, budgets easier for like brand owners. But the bad is, are we killing creativity? Somehow.
And I think, you know, I mean, when I think everyone started talking about AI, I think I was very much, you know, I love writing. I've grown up, maybe I'm a bit older, and I was like, no, you know, I'm refusing. And now I think, you know, they say that I think if you're not looking at how AI is going to affect your business, then your business will probably be dead in 5 years. So now, obviously, you know, initially I was kind of even running an agency, you know, a lot of my team are early 20s, graduates, and to them, AI and ChatGPT is very much something they've got grown up with through university, you know. And so there was me having my policy of no, you know, no AI, to realizing that actually that's not the way, you know, it isn't, you know, that's not practical. So now we've got guidelines in place. I mean, I'll be honest, I mean, I'm still like, I probably am a bit more behind, but I put in, like, you just, you know, playing around. I did my own biography, for example. I was like, okay, write my biography. And I mean, I was genuinely stunned. It was a really good biography. Yeah. And so I think there's a place for everything, right? And I now it's like, okay, by all means use things, right? Because I do think, and there's some statistics, I think that if you actually use AI and ChatGPT, I think you're getting a 70% better content. But the thing is not to just do it and hand it over, right? You still have to. Correct. I know that there's things I've been doing, just even look at for make sure you've like covered off all things. So I think like the apps like Humanize, for example, which actually, you know, it is actually taking a step further and doing great. I think you've got to kind of still that, the human is still really important, right? So maybe it's got the bones and it's helped you, but really, you know, I would still go in and edit and actually, you know, correct, get that to where it should be. But that is definitely, that's where we're going. But I think something that I think still makes me, you know, I'm in a people business. I love people. And I think even with all of this data, like what is really the research and insight that's coming out is still about, we're still people, still by people.
Correct.
And particularly, I think, in the last 3 years since COVID, that was one of the things that came through, that one of the biggest surges that we've had in the agency is for profiling of business owners and entrepreneurs and the whole personal brand, which is all about human. And now, you know, I think when they're talking about content as well, it is the kind of conversation about community is, you know, really important, because ultimately, yes, you are, you know, you're taking pieces of content and you're sharing them, but ultimately a lot of it is very community based, and be that on, you know, social, be that, and so there is still that desire there for human connection and community. And so I like to think that doesn't mean that we're just all going to be replaced by robots, because that ultimately that's where
I don't also believe it. But again, maybe we're from an older generation.
I say that a lot as well. Like, you know, maybe I'm just old, but yeah, but I like to believe that, you know, we still want each other.
All right. Maybe as some closing suggestion, you know, what do you recommend, you know, for brand owners to stay ahead and relevant to audience? What is kind of like, you know, something that comes top of your mind?
I just think don't do what you've always done, you know, just because, you know, it's always worked for you. I think you have to have an open mind and you have to try new things, try new channels. I think don't be scared of trying new things. Even, you know, okay, maybe you're not on TikTok yourself, for example, but maybe that your key target audience are. So I think try, you know, it's that, I think that's sometimes new things look scary, and I don't think, you know, they should be. I think you just have to, you know, have a go.
Good. Well, listen, it was a very big pleasure having you here on our podcast.
Thank you for
making the time. And until then, see you next time on the next episode of Live Talks. Thank you.